All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And this is episode 25, Scare Tactics.
Ooh.
Are you scared, people? Are you scared? Don't be scared.
Wasn't that the name of that candid camera show that Shannon Doherty ran?
Yep. Yeah, where they were like, put the little camera up in the little minivan and then like have Sasquatch come and like all of them like, ah!
And yeah, they're like fake alien abductions and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it was God. Like,
yeah. It was like punk, but with only, you know, sci-fi stuff.
With scary ass shit.
Yep. Oh, there were some that like.
Or supposedly scary ass shit.
Yep. There was this one where they did that to the camper and the chicken side like nearly had a freaking heart attack. Because then they sent somebody out and then like splashed blood upside the thing so it made it sound like the thing that was outside killed him. Just like. Yeah.
A lot of them almost had heart attacks.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was sitting at home comfy laughing my ass off.
Yeah, I was like, ha ha, they got me. Meanwhile, if it had been me, I would like, no. I just would have drove off. I'd be like, fuck that shit. Fuck that dude.
You
would
have drove off. I probably would have fainted dead away.
No, I would have just been like, I would be like, no, shut that screaming shit up. Who's got the keys? Because we're going. And I just would have been it. Okay, they would have had to catch up with me down the road at like a Denny's or something. They're like, dude.
Yeah, because Denny's is safe.
Yeah.
Like, I think safe. I think Denny's.
Yeah. Why not? Gram slam, baby. Alright, anyway. Moving on. Got a little bit of business to attend to. Just a little bit. Gotta keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com or esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. You can get all the news that's fit for us to print or, you know, unfit for us to print. Depends on the mood, really. Yeah. But you can get it all. News, reviews, our opinions, hell. You can comment and post your own opinions. It's all good in the hood, people. It's all good. If you want, when you comment, you can enter our sweepstakes, because we do, you know, give away free candy each week, every week, on the regular.
Candy.
Yay for the candy. Candy. I really do need sleep.
Yeah.
Just a little. Just a little. You can also go to our store, our Freshware store. We just updated it, some new designs. We'd really appreciate it if you stopped by and like bought something. That way we know that you really love us, because we, you know, judge how you love us by the amount of money that we make.
We're women. All women do that. Money equals love.
It does. Show me how much you love me.
Buy me the expensive carats, baby. Stuff.
Four but... series is sweet.
I'm sold. I'm sold.
Oh my god, that's awesome. In any case, in any event, just hit us up. We love the attention. We do it for you. Now with that, I'm going to turn this mic over to Magic Mystic Girl, and you might be saying, well, what about the candy bitch? What about the candy bitch?
I have to say, what about the candy bitch?
No, you don't have to say, what about the candy bitch? I'm saying that they, you know, listening to the podcast right now.
They're probably like, why hasn't she given anyone candy yet?
Yeah.
Why? Why, Ninja, why?
Because it was Halloween. You bitches got enough candy. Okay, I'm not paying your dentist bills. Next week just might be a double candy bitch week. I'm not saying anything, but I'm just saying that it might. But this week, y'all got enough candy. Free candy.
So no candy bitches for
so
you.
So no candy bitches for you. Oh, sad. Too sad. Aww,
I can hear the hearts breaking from here.
Yeah, well, you know, just turn your speakers down. It won't bother you after a while. You just have to drown out all the sounds of sorrow and torment. I do it all the time.
It'll fade away.
It'll fade away. And soon enough, you won't even have to worry about it. You'll just like go, oh, what is that little Oh, it's the sound of souls crying. I remember that noise. And you move on.
That's bad.
In any case.
I think you're evil knowing, Ninja.
This is what happens when the ninja does not get sleep. The ninja becomes evil. Eventually, I will
evil
turn into
ninja.
A gremlin. Eventually, I will turn into a gremlin. So you damn sure better not feed me after midnight.
Wait. Don't we have to pour water on you first for that and
no,
then feed you?
No, I'm already
no,
a
feeding
gremlin.
It turns it evil, doesn't
oh.
it?
Okay. See, water just makes more of me. beating me after midnight is what makes me evil. Because remember, they poured the water on Gizmo accidentally, and then all the furry little Gizmo copies popped out. Then they ate after midnight because they broke the clock, and then that's when they turned to the lizard evil thingies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't feed tribbles either. Don't feed tribbles at all.
Don't ever feed a tribble. Unless you need a hairpiece.
And unless you need a bunch of hair pieces.
And someplace to farm it from. I'm not saying that Shatner's hair piece is made out of tribbles. I'm just saying they have a lot of characteristics in common. Moving on. I'm passing the mic to Magic Mystic Girl. What are you going to do with it?
I am going to... Well, first of all, I'm going to say that I'm first in the podcast. They finally recognized my importance. Thank you, guys.
Yay!
Featured me.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to talk about Kakarenbo, which means hide and seek in Japanese.
Uh-huh.
And this is a short one-shot anime, so there's not a whole lot to talk about, but I'll try and do it anyways.
Yeah, right, really, but you got to stretch this out for like a half hour. Go! No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, I do. Gotta do what Panda always does. Anyways, so this is really...
Oh, she shouts you out on the show. She's saying you're full of wind, that you talk too much.
Wow.
That's what she said, and we have it on tape.
I know. I did not specifically say anything of the sort.
Oh, of course you didn't.
All right, so Kakarenbo was released last year on Halloween, October 28th. And that was actually when I first saw it. A lot of people I've talked to have said that they also first saw it, that Adult Swim on midnight of Halloween 2005 showed Kakarenbo, and that was the first time I saw it. What about you guys?
I had actually heard about Kakarenbo before Adult Swim actually aired it, but it was the first time that I'd actually seen it in English.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. All right. Well, it has actually won a bunch of awards. It won the 2005 Tokyo Anime Fair video showing. It was the winner. It was the best short film at the 2005 Fantasia Film Festival, and the best short film nomination at the 2005. I know I'm going to butcher this. I know how to pronounce it, but I'm reading it, so it's going to screw me up. Yeah, something like that. International Cartoon and Animation Festival. So this is very popular, and I know why, because I've seen it. All right. So the whole point of this this one episode, is that there are nights in this city where the lights burn brighter. And on these nights, there's a game that only children can play. And it's called Otokoyo, which I think also means hide and seek. And the players, these children, find their way to the Demon's Gate in the center of the city by following the characters Otokoyo on signs. Like, the way they showed in the anime, the entire sign will be blacked out except for the character O, and the character Toe, and the character et cetera, et cetera. And once the seven players have arrived at the Demon's Gate, each of them wearing a fox mask, the gates will open and the game will begin. But whenever the lights get brighter in the city, strange things happen, and children may disappear. Because it's only 25 minutes long, there isn't much insight into the characters. The story is focused mainly on Hikora, a young boy whose little sister disappeared when she played Otokoyo.
Okay.
He's accompanied by a friend, Yaimo, an older boy, who kind of is an older brother, but not by blood.
Okay.
And he's there to look out for Hikora. And then there are other children, because there have to be seven to play. There's Noshiga, who's a self-styled gang leader, who's probably all of 12.
Right.
But with his underlings, Techiji and Suku. There's twins, Inmu and Yanku, and a little girl named Sorincha.
Okay.
So aside from Akora and Yaimo, the reasons the others have for playing is never revealed. The twins don't even have voice actors because they never even speak in the show.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah, there's just not much information to go on. But it's said that when the children play Otokoyo, they'll be chased by ghosts or oni, which, you know, makes sense, because in Japan, if you're it, you know, when you're playing tag, then you're referred to as the ogre or the oni.
Okay.
But there are specific oni that are said to be chasing these children. Abatora, Abatori, the oil taker. Kotori, the child's taker. Chitori, the blood taker. And Kimotori, the liver taker. So these kids, some of them seem to be, you know, playing the game to disprove that there are ghosts or anything there. And some of them are there, it looks like, for a fight, you know, to fight and beat the big bad demons. And then Hikaru is looking for his little sister.
Right.
So I loved this anime. It's, again, only 25 minutes long, but it's got everything. It's got a great pace to it.
Okay.
Because basically these children are, you know, running around in this city. And there's actually something I really don't understand about this, how it's in a city, but kind of a place of its own, almost as if when they go through the Demon's Gate, they enter, like, a different world. And, you know, it's kind of like a place of no escape or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, let's see, how to describe it. Have you ever seen Spirited Away? I know you guys probably have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep, own it, love it, hi, yeah.
Well, it's that love kind ya. Of thing. It's not a modern-day thing. These are, like, gas lamps and neon signs, old neon signs and things that light this place. So the lighting's really creepy, and there's all these back alleys and stuff in the city, and the buildings are all, like, real close together, so there's corners that you just can't see around and stuff. So it's really creepy. So the setting is, like, that initial city from Spirited Away, just right. with, like, horrible monsters roaming around in it. Mm-hmm. The lighting's slightly worse. But, yeah, I loved Kakarinbo, and I would rate it a 4 of 5.
Okay.
And let's see, what were my colors? I decided on these right before we started. So, a black one for horror, because it's very, very scary the first time you see it. Yellow for the lighting, and the fact that it's, The lights actually tell a lot about the story. The children are guided to this door with the characters on the signs, and then, like, the lights flicker if something's about to happen and stuff.
Yeah, so it's almost like the light is a character itself within...
It is. So I decided to give it an M&M of its own. maroon for bloodless violence. All the horrible things happen to these kids. There's never actually any, like, blood and gore and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And a red for the rushing of adrenaline as they're running around, you know, afraid for their lives. So I really just loved Kakarinbo. And it was actually quite good even the second time. I saw it last year on Halloween, and then I saw it this year on Halloween with my anime club. And the first time around, it's like really scary. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't even really understand what's going on. Like, why are these kids here? You know, what are they looking for? Why aren't they running the hell away?
Right.
You know? And then the second time around, you understand what's going to happen, and you can see it coming, so you understand more of what's going on. It's like Memento. You had to watch it twice to really get what was going on,
right.
Because it was all out of order and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Kakarinbo, the story is not actually out of order, but it helps to have the information you only get at the end.
Right.
All right. I actually thought that was going to last longer, but...
No,
it's a good
magic, relax.
Really?
I can talk about it a little bit, too, if it makes
you
feel anything.
That would help. That would help.
Because we were both watching it for our anime club, because we both are in the same place. When I first saw it, you know, I saw it at night when it first came out, scared me shitless. You know, but the second time around, I wasn't as, you know, I wasn't as scared because, you know, you kind of know. But, I mean, sometimes when you don't watch something for so long, you know, you think that rush is going to come back, you know, and it didn't for me this time. So, like, in a sense, where you gave it what, like 4 out of 5, did you give it?
I gave it 4 out of 5.
You see, I would probably have to give it a 3 out of 5. I mean, it had great potential to be more. If they made that, like, maybe even a one-season series.
Oh, it would be
and
awesome.
And delved deeper, it would have been so worth it.
Oh, yeah, it would have been really
personally.
Cool.
You know, like, I would have liked to see how Syrentia, you know, like, if they'd done flashbacks to seeing Syrentia make it through the game, you know, and then seeing, you know, her prey on other people and then bring in Hikaru, who's looking for her. I think they could have done so much more with this.
Yeah.
You know,
I really enjoyed it both times, because even though I knew it was going to happen and it wasn't as scary the second time, there were all sorts of nuances that I hadn't noticed or hadn't remembered from the first time I saw it.
Well, I think that Kakarimbo is really one of those things that you need to own, and you need to watch it more than just once or just twice. Because yeah. The first time that you watch it, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, because they make things so, they keep you so anxious for what's about to happen or could possibly happen, that you miss a lot of things. So that when you watch it the second time, you know, like you said, there are a lot of nuances that you pick up. You notice the use of light more than the first time. You notice, you know, how characters are actually, you know, interacting with each other more than
and
you know,
it's like once you understand the truths of what's really going on, you go back and you see all the indicators, and you know, it's kind of like, okay, how did I not know this was going to happen?
Right. So. And so I would definitely recommend that Kakarimbo is something that people should see. And because it's such, you know, it's just a one-off, one-episode anime, that it's not something that you'll get into and then decide, oh my god, I have to see more of it and have to make a huge investment. You know, it's just the one OVA, but you can see a lot of influences of other anime, and then a lot of influences on just great storytelling. Because I think that's the reason why I like Kakarimbo so much, is because they really focus more on the art of storytelling. Because it is. It's just a ghost story that, like, you would tell at a campfire.
Yeah, it actually, that's something I hadn't really considered, but now thinking about it, it comes in with a narration about you know, what happens and how the lights burn brighter on certain nights, and how children play this game. That's all a storytelling, a narrator, as you're actually panning this really long pan shot down into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the children show up, and it's actually the same thing at the end. That there's a voice kind of talking you through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It is very much a horror story told around campfires about this city, God knows where it is, you know, and these mysterious things happen. And I'd have to agree with you. I really like the art of it as well, the art of storytelling and the art itself, because they did a perfect melding of CGI and cell shading, so mm-hmm. that it was basically a cell shaded anime for the characters, but the backgrounds were, you know, the traditional watercolors and some CGI, and the demons were all CGI created.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a contrast even between the look of the demons and the kids,
mm-hmm.
so that it even defined more the line between, you know, what's real and human and what's kind of magical and not of this world kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yep. So. I would always say to the four people that I've told about Kakarimbo that they absolutely had to see, that were creative types, that if you can imagine any of the, if you ever watched Gantz, the last three monsters that they had to deal with in the series, the big god statues ones, that it was that type of CG art, but actually taken to another level by the way that they incorporated it in so seamlessly with the traditional 2D artwork and cell shading and watercolor. I've always thought that Kakarimbo really had its own unique style, but as you watch it, you can pick up where they got these elements and where they got the ideas, but you can see that they took the time to then actually flush them all the way through and really make a good, solid story.
Yeah.
Visually and orally.
Which Pan and I are saying, you know, how much we'd love it if it were longer. But how much of that meticulous storytelling and meticulous art could really carry on into 13 or 26 episodes?
Well, they could do it. The problem would be it would be very expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very expensive.
And so you kind of have to balance that off. I mean, you know, we can talk about how great animation is. I mean, the CGI animation, for instance, that comes out of Pixar is phenomenal. It takes them 3 years to do a feature-length film.
Yeah.
To get it to that meticulousness. So try to then carry that into a 13-episode series that you have to do voice work in two languages for, yeah, and release within, you would want to really release within a year of each other in order to capitalize on its popularity. And now that becomes a multi-million dollar venture.
Oh boy.
So
yeah, that sure ain't pocket money.
Yeah, that's not, you know, chump change. Well, it is to Bill Gates, but Bill Gates isn't into doing anime. So, oh,
if only.
Well, if only his pockets were. I'm not exactly sure, yeah, how well Mr. Gates would write an anime series, but
we don't need him for this writing. We need him for his funding.
We need the funding. But in any case, no, that's not a dig at Bill Gates. I have a lot of respect for Bill Gates. The foundation that he and his wife have created about education, I think, is just one of the most phenomenal things that he's ever put together. And I wish that great success, because education really needs a lot of help in this country. But
yeah,
getting back to the anime, I would definitely suggest for anybody listening, even if you don't like anime, pick up Kakarembo, because if you enjoy art, if you enjoy just a good boogeyman story, Kakarembo's it.
Yes, oh, it
yeah
is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's something that you can, you know, guys and girls, I'm telling you right now, dudes, if you pick this up and have your girlfriend over who's into anime or even just animation just a little bit or just likes to be freaked out a little bit, I guarantee you it'll be a get cozy on the couch kind of evening. You can't go wrong. Seriously, because the first time anybody sees this, they'll be scared, even least little bit, because of the way the story is told.
And even if you're not scared by, like, the shock value or the adrenaline pumping, you know, tension and whatever, you'll be creeped out on a totally different level because of what this anime is about. So even if you don't, you know, jump out of your seat and scream, you know, when the killer jumps around the corner or whatever, you're still going to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So go see it! And it's cheap!
Yeah.
And actually, if you, the American release DVD, from what I've heard, has 50 minutes, so twice that of the series on special features.
Excellent.
Love. So not only do you get to actually watch it and have it scare you, you could actually go and see how they make it scare you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
See how the sausage is made. No, don't see how the sausage is
made.
Oh,
no, don't. You'll never want to eat sausage again.
Ooh.
I liked the crayons one. I used to watch Mr. Rogers, and the only thing I remember is that one time he had a video.
But they showed how they made crayons.
Factory, and they showed how they made crayons. I loved that.
I remember that.
You remember that too?
Yep.
It's the only thing I remember. That and how he would always used to take off his shoes.
Okay. No, you want to know what I remember about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Sure. Why not?
My high school Spanish teacher looks exactly like Lady Elaine.
Who's Lady Elaine?
Remember the land of make believe?
With the puppets?
Yes. Lady Elaine was one of the puppets.
And your Spanish teacher was exactly like that?
Yes.
¿Dónde está su pelota?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Where is my
¿Dónde ball? Está la biblioteca? La biblioteca está aquí. ¿Cómo está usted?
I took 4 years of Spanish, and I don't remember a thing.
Dude, in my junior high, they split up Spanish 1 into 1A and 1B, so you took 1A through 7th, and then 1B through 8th. I could carry on a conversation in Spanish when I left junior high. When I went to high school, I unlearned all the Spanish that I had learned.
Actually, that's exactly what happened to me. My last year of Spanish, I had a Russian Spanish teacher who couldn't speak English or Spanish very well, so I unlearned all of it.
But that's not the podcast, guys.
We played bingo in Spanish, doing shapes and colors for candy.
Hey, what's the Spanish word for bingo?
I don't even remember.
Okay, we convinced my Spanish teacher to let us watch The Fast and the Furious with Spanish subtitles. That's what we did all class.
That's cool.
You win.
Yeah, you win.
You win.
Cuadrado, I am doing that.
Cuadrado anaranjado. Cuadrado anaranjado. Triángulo amarillo. All right, anyway.
Moving on. You're just gonna keep going because you know you're gonna cut all this out, aren't you?
Oh, what? No, I'm leaving it in. Screw that shit. All right, I'm done. Really, I am.
Okay. Oh, right, my turn. All right, so I am going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths to Pandalicious, and I'm gonna give her a fox mask too.
Okay.
Along with
cool.
Fox mask. And so now we have.
Wait, what do we have on it? A fox mask.
You'll get it when you get the mask. When you get the right. Sword of 1,000 truths. So now we have a flashlight, one of David Crystal balls, and a fox mask on that sword. We gotta keep track. Somebody start writing a list and we'll see where we are. Like here.
It ain't gonna last that long. Trust me. Somebody's gonna be like, I lost the list. Oh, we gotta start all over again. New mic.
Okay, so now that I've got the mic, and it's so weird being the second one going.
Now you know how I felt.
Yeah, and after me, I'd be like, man, I wouldn't want to go after me either. But,
what are you trying to say, sis?
Nothing. But I'm going to just rant to our listeners today. A lot of you know I do gaming and I do... you know, anime, and I thought I'd flip it up a little bit with a little bit of gaming this week.
You're not going to say that you're going to switch it up or back it up a bit?
No.
Because, you know, like, for the last, like, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9 podcasts, you keep saying, I'm going to back it up a little bit. I'm going to switch it up a little bit, but you still talk about the same thing.
We've been talking about old stuff for a while.
Yeah.
I know.
But,
it's nostalgia, baby. You can't get away from it. Oh, dang. The D.O. double jizzle in the hizzle. Sorry.
So, yeah. So I'm flipping the script and I'm gonna put on my gaming hat and I'm gonna put my anime hat over right next to me here.
Your gaming hat, the one with the wow question mark?
Yes. So I have completed a quest and I have great booty. I mean treasure. Yeah.
No, you mean booty.
Yeah, give me some of that booty.
I do mean booty. So anyway.
Booty rocking everywhere. Sorry.
Don't sue her.
Don't sue me.
But I was having a little discussion. You know, I'm a college student, and that's what we do when we're skipping class or waiting for class to start. And a lot of my gamer friends, I was not skipping class, but I was waiting for a class to start. And I was with a bunch of my gamer friends, and a lot of them had been standing in line for a good chunk of the day getting their Final Fantasy XII games.
Ah.
And they were all, you know, man-groping or manhandling their guides like they manhandle another asset of their character.
You said asset. You should have said member. I know what you mean. You're saying masturbation.
Anyway.
Really? Because so, I wouldn't have understood that.
Really?
So I encouraged... I encouraged one of them to let me look through the guide because I was debating on whether or not.
After they were groping it, you wanted to touch it?
Are you encouraging masturbation, Pandalicious?
So, I encouraged.
Dude, she's not even going to acknowledge it. I'm trying to get through my segment here.
Anyway, so I encouraged one of them to let me look through the walkthrough to look at some of the pictures.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, and I was looking at the characters, and, you know, I was a little surprised because a lot of the characters, you know...
were naked?
Well, scantily dressed, yes, but also...
I gotta find me one of those guides.
But they were all, you know, white, and they were all blonde.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, except for one class of people that were, like, bunny people.
The bunny people!
And they were,
people.
Like, brown... with, like, white ears.
So they're kind of, like, Latino bunny people?
So, yeah. So, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm flipping through these pictures and I think to myself, thinking back to all the other Final Fantasy games that I happen to have played, and I was just like, you know what? I'm like, a lot of the main characters in Final Fantasy games happen to be white blonde people. Not that I'm racist in any single way, guys, or girls, or, you know, blonde people in general. I just thought it was funny, you know, because I think they need to start switching it up. Granted, yes, I totally liked playing, you know, Tidus from Final Fantasy X. Yeah, I totally, you know, dug playing that little blonde kid from 8, not that I can remember his name now, but I mean, you know, they kind of need to switch it up. Why can't the next Final Fantasy character be a black chick, maybe?
Oh, you wondering where the black people at?
After seeing these pictures, I had to go, wow. Like, where's the... I mean, why not even, like, a hot Spanish girl or something?
You're saying it's interesting. Like, an ethnic cleansing in the Final Fantasy world?
I'm just curious. That,
it's,
you know,
interesting,
like,
though, that it's created by Japanese company, and it's all blonde, blue-eyed characters. There aren't even any Japanese characters in these games.
Well, it's really actually kind of funny, because in Final Fantasy X, too, you know, during the CG rendered shots, you know, like with Tidus, and you look at his facial expressions, a lot of them happen to be, like, Japanese-oriented. But, you know, like, and then you sit there and you play him, and he looks a lot paler, and he looks like a white guy. So you're kind of like, huh? You know, and then, you know, because a lot of, you know, these guys who I was talking with were like, you know, not all of them were, you know, and they were all complaining that I was like, why are you so, you know, upset about there not being any, you know, like, colored people or whatever? And I'm just like, not that I'm upset, but I'm like, you know, these worlds are so elaborate, you know, and they've got all these other colors going on, but you don't see any Spanish people.
You want to know why it is?
Because vanilla gets boring. That's why.
You want to know why you don't see the black peoples or the Latin peoples?
Because
they all
couldn't rent there.
No, and I'm not gonna say it's because they couldn't get the credit check going to actually, you know, get it. They're all at Zion kicking it with Neo underground,
having that wild orgy party.
Having the orgy party. They're too busy to worry about what's going on in the world. They're just like, orgy!
Oh my god, yeah. So, and then another little nick, you know, as I was looking at a lot of these female characters, uh-oh, is a lot of them look like Yuna, who comes from Final Fantasy X, except, like, blonde. You know, and at first I was like, you know, I'm like, I liked Yuna from Final Fantasy X. Wasn't sure if I cared for her in Final Fantasy X 2, which, at this point that I mentioned, these gamers that I was talking to do not believe that Final Fantasy X 2 actually belonged in the whole set of Final Fantasy games. They felt it was a horrible way to, like, ruin, you know, the ending of a pretty good game.
But you didn't want to play Dress Me Up with Yuna?
No, I didn't want to play Dress Me Up with Yuna.
I'm a white mage now!
Not even! She was a white mage in Final Fantasy X. You know, did the whole cool dancy thing on water for the unsent. That's pretty nifty. Had the hot water scene with Tidus. Oh yeah, don't think I didn't watch that a couple of times. you know, fights with the whole thing. You save her. He's a dream, so he, like, evaporates or whatever dreams do. I don't even know what dreams do.
They dissipate.
You know, And then she gets over it. It's been 2 years. And she sheds off her beautiful kimono-esque dress, rips it off in a stripper-like tease to become a sphere hunter.
Yeah! Woo!
So it's kind of like one of these.
I'm going to find some
balls. Yes, I'm Yuna, and I'm meant to save the world. Oh, great. Summoners aren't needed anymore. Like, come on. Come on.
She's got to find the balls.
So, you know, and so Yuna going from, you know, sweet conservative to, you know, I steal things, tee-hee. Yeah, no, don't think so. Also, you know, going back from Final Fantasy X, you know, Riku, totally dug Riku, you know, had the cute little shorts on with the nice, you know, covered top.
Sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, had this nice, like, top on thing, you know, and she kind of looked well endowed in Final Fantasy X.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you go and you get Final Fantasy X-2 and you look at her, you know, she's got this long hair, she's got the braids going, you know, with the little bikini top.
She went down to Jamaica and got her groove back.
Anyway, getting back to my rant.
When the white girls have the braids, it's because they've been down to Negril.
I think she's been on, you know, El Bed's Gone Wild, maybe, for those 2 years. But my point is, you know,
do you love me now, Daddy?
Like, I will go strip on a pole. Anyway. My point was, in the first game, you know, she also had this innocence about her, but, you know, she had a rack. So, like, what happened in this second game, no, she's wearing this bikini, and her boobies, like, disappeared.
Well, what happened was she had that inflatable bra with the air in it, and she couldn't get it on a plane because it had more than 3 ounces, so she had to leave it behind.
You know, and, like... But, like, I couldn't stand it.
I know. I
couldn't
stand it.
And these gamers that I was talking with were like, well, she was supposed to be older in the game. I'm like, no, she got skanky in the second game. And you want to know how I can prove it? You can see her thong above her freaking hip bone.
When you shake your booty, like, da-da-da-da. And then you do booty, like, butt-up.
You know, and then, so you've got the innocent girl going more wild. You've got... You know, the big boobed, you know, blonde girl shrinking them down with a thong hanging out. And then you've got your depressed, morbid, emo, you know, badass warrior. Now, mind you, I liked Pain.
Yeah, Pain's good.
I liked Pain.
I thought Pain was a great character addition.
I thought she was, too. But the interesting thing about her was, you know, when we were talking about it, if you look back to, I think, Final Fantasy VII, and you look at, VII, is that the one with Squall in it? Or is
I think
that
so? So it's either 7 or 8.
So one of them, you know, I think it's 8. I don't think it's 7 because 7 has Cloud in it, yeah. I believe. So it's 8. So in 8, you know, you look at Squall and you see how depressed and brooding he is. Him and Pain could totally get together, and have emo babies.
Hot,
you know, so
yeah, really hot emo babies. Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh man. But anyway. You know, and above all else, you know, like...
Child molestation is wrong. Please continue.
these gamer guys that I was talking to about this, you know, like, they were just like, yeah, well, that game was more or less just to get girl gamers to play because it was all about girls' rights. And I was like, no, it wasn't. I'm like, that game was to entice fanboys to want to play it so that you could see 3 hot girls be like Charlie's Angels and, like, undress and be, like, slutty.
Squeenix themselves said that the game is for the fanboys.
So, it was all about seeing Yuna be all slutty in her short, like, shorts with her guns. Like she'd been a freaking gunslinger the whole time.
Okay, that is not a girl power game, people.
No, it's not. It's a, hey, look at these hot girls. Hee, 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 hee.
Yep. They're gonna sing a song for you. Yay! Oops, they gotta change into their star outfits.
I know, right?
Yeah, no. It's not a girl power game at all. That's totally for the fanboys.
It was totally
fan
for the fanboys.
Fan service.
Now, Grantly, you know, granted. Sorry, granting.
I like Grantly. I like that. I prefer.
Anthony, you know, after playing Final Fantasy X, I was hooked because I rented it one day out of boredom, and I didn't realize how much I was going to like that.
Right.
You know, so when Final Fantasy X-2 came out, I was like, oh, man, I wonder if Yuna and Titus are going to get back together. And I played through it, and I was like, that kind of sucked.
I avoided X-2 like the plague.
Yeah, I know you did, because I was like, do you want to borrow it? And you're like, no.
You're like, but it's a Final Fantasy. And I was like, yeah, no.
You know, so I don't know. Like, we just had a really good conversation about it, so I wanted to bring it to the table. Though, I mean, you know... I really think that the people who are doing Final Fantasy, you know, games need to start, you know, spicing up their main characters a little bit. Put some flavor.
A little variety.
Maybe some brown sugar and some cinnamon and maybe even some paprika for some kicks.
Paprika. Make sure you get the Portuguese kind, not the Hungarian kind.
You know, and spice it up a little bit, you know, because, you know, not only white women can be bomb ass. We all can be.
I agree. There needs to be more diversity in the Final Fantasy games, especially going forward from this point. They really ought to.
Especially because in one of the Final Fantasy 13 games, one of the main characters, once again, looks like Yuna.
Yeah. But totes guns.
Yeah. Oh, like Yuna from 10-2.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Whoop.
Whoop-de-doo.
I mean, you know, they might make a case that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but it is broke.
After a while, guys can't... No, but after a while, guys are going to get sick of slapping their ham to Yuna, though. We need more eye candy.
Did you just say slapping the ham? Is that another masturbatory reference?
Yes. But that's all I have for everybody this week. So with that, I'm done. I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths with the fox mask to Ninja Sister.
Dude, how am I supposed to follow up with you going out on a masturbatory note?
You're just gonna have to come with it. Bring it.
Bad pun. Bad pun. Bad pun.
Yes, please don't.
Wash it's been the brought naughty in. Away. Wash the naughty away. I'm a good girl. I'm a good clean girl. Okay.
Yeah, right.
No, you're not. Shut you dirty up! Thing.
They don't look. The people do not need to know. You don't have to.
That's another podcast, guys. Know. That's another podcast.
You don't have to put my business out there like that. That's another podcast. Seriously.
It's another podcast.
Seriously, yeah. People. That's
anyway, awesome. Ninja, what are you going to do with the mic and the fox mask?
Well, I'm not going to tell you now because people are going to think that I'm a dirty girl. I'm not.
You're not a dirty girl.
I'm not a dirty girl.
She takes showers every day, everybody. She's quite clean.
I smell like Burberry.
Come on. See, so now they know you're not a dirty girl. So come on.
Tender touch. Well, I am actually going to talk about game stuff. Ha ha. Nothing new there. And basically, I've been thinking about something all week, and I was going to put this up on the website, and I thought, no, I'll save it for the podcast because I'm really interested about this, and I want it to get to everybody, and I know that a lot of the ESH faithful not only read the website, but also get the podcast, so I wanted to ask this question, and it's basically a reality check. Basically, what I was thinking is we all know that we're just a couple of weeks away now from the launch dates of the PS3 and the Nintendo Wii. And big time, big time. And there's been all kinds of standing in line stuff, and the eBay pre-order thing has been getting ridiculous. People are saying that, you know, GameStop's going to pull all of their pre-orders for the PS3 that are appearing on eBay. And I always thought that that was, you know, just bullshit because how do they know that a pre-order that they sold is going to be on eBay? Because it's not like people are, you know, putting up all the pictures of the receipts so you can see who bought it. So there's no way that they could track what pre-order came from their store. So I didn't think that was going to happen. But I was thinking with the launch dates now around the corner, what is the system that people really need? Okay.
Whee!
Well, I know where you sit. But seriously, if you taking a step back, there's what you want, and then there's what you need. And I'm asking people what their actual, if they do a gut check, what is it that they need? Because I know what they want. We all want the same thing. We want it all. Okay, I want a PS3, I've got an Xbox 360, and I want a Wii. But if I was to take a step back and ask myself,
like, what are you really going to get? Because wanting and wanting to pay for are two totally different things.
Exactly. So I it started with about a week ago. I was having a lunch with a bunch of friends of mine, and my girlfriend has two young sons, one's 7 and the other one is 10. And she was asking me my opinion on what game she should get them because she pre-ordered them a PS3. Now, after I pushed the thoughts of killing her and assuming her identity so that I could pick up her PS3 that was pre-ordered, because I was like, bitch, you got one and I didn't, that sucks. I even sent a minion, but whatever. I started thinking about what I would recommend as far as games on the PS3 for a 7 and 10 year old. And so I asked her, I said, well, you know, what games are your kids playing now? Because they have a PS2. Well, these kids, they have a PS2, they have DS fatties, they have DS lights, and they have PSPs. And I'm just like, dude, will you adopt me?
Wow.
Like, seriously. Spoil me, mommy. And she kind of giggled and said that she didn't really know what they were playing. And, you know, I started thinking in my head, Jesus Christ, this is the reason why, you know, parents need to be more involved. But then she says, but we don't have any games in the house that are not an E rating. My kids are not allowed to spend any money on games. We all go shopping for games together as a family unit, and nothing gets paid for by me or by my husband for games unless they have an E rating. And I thought, well, at least that's good. You're involved enough to know not to let your kids play anything more than an E rating. I was like, that's great. But then I started thinking, well, hell, are there even any E-rated titles that are going to be available for launch that are PS3 titles? And yeah. I actually had to go and do some research to actually find a list of the PS3 titles. And I'm looking at the list, and I'm like, Okay. And basically on the list, there are 21 titles that are going to be launch titles for the PS3. Resistance Fall of Man, NBA 07, Genji Day of the Blazing Angel Squadrons of World War II, Call of Duty 3, EA Sports Night Round 3, The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, Fear, Full Auto 2, Madden 07, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Mobile Suit Gundam Crossfire, NBA 2K7, Need for Speed Carbon, the NHL 2K7 game, Ridge Racer 7, Sonic the Hedgehog, Tiger Woods PGA Tour, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas, Tony Hawk's Project 8, and Untold Legends Dark Kingdom. And while I was looking at that list of games, only three of them are actually E-rated. And of the games that are rated E, they're not games that don't exist already on the PS2. And I, you know, went back and I told my friend that, you know, there really isn't anything new that your kids are going to be able to play, because she doesn't even let them play teen games, which I think is a good move. But there's just nothing that they're going to be able to play. Most of those games are not meant for a young audience.
Yeah.
And she kind of looked really disappointed, and I was like, but, you know, they can still play their PS2 games. Well, some of their PS2 games, because the PS3 is backwards compatible with most of them. I was like, so if you do actually wind up giving them this box, they can continue playing the games that they're already playing. I'm like, but you're basically going to be dropping $600 for them to just keep doing what it is that they're doing now, because it's not like playing the PS2 games on the PS3 are going to give you any better graphics.
Yeah.
And, right. You know, so she started looking real depressed and things like that. And but then I told her about the Nintendo Wii. And she just kind of looked at me for a moment and she said, well, what is that? And I almost bashed my head into the table like, are you fucking kidding me? But I stopped myself. You know, I was like, I can't believe that there's anybody out there who hasn't heard of the Wii. So I started explaining, my whole spiel about the launch titles that are going to be on the Wii. And I talked about, you know, the Mii channel and how you can make little Weeple and the virtual console so you can play, you know, Donkey Kong and all the old school NES games eventually and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, her eyes started lighting up because she started remembering playing those games herself. And so she started getting excited about the system and the ability to play these games. And this was a person who didn't even know what her own kids were playing, but now she's getting excited about the, you know, idea of being able to play some games that she's comfortable playing with her kids and having that experience with them. And then I tell her that, you know, the whole ball of joy here will cost $250 and ships with a game that actually has the five mini games, because the Wii is bundled with Wii Sports, so you get the bowling, baseball, tennis, golf, and I can't remember what the other game is, but there's five games that you can play in the sports game. And, you know, now I'm a hero, you know, which is good, because I like being the good guy most of the time. I like people going, oh, Ninja, you're so awesome. I give you love a long time. And I'm like, no, thank you. But that's when I started asking the question, who really needs these next-gen consoles that are coming out? You know, who needs a PS3? If you look at the launch titles that are coming out for the PS3, it's obviously not a machine for children, okay? Because there are very few launch titles on that list that children can play. It's real obvious that they're designing this box and setting it up for your 20-something gamer. I mean, Resistance, Fall of Man, Call of Duty 3, Fear, Oblivion, Rainbow Six Vegas, those aren't games for children. Those are not games that children or people with impressionable minds should be playing. Those are really games for a hardcore, I want to go out and play a game where I get to kill a lot of shit, blow up a lot of shit, and have a lot of fun blowing that shit up. Honestly, you know, when you look at that roster, that's what those games are for. So I started thinking, okay, well, if I was just to come into this next-gen console thing blank, not having an Xbox 360, not having a PS2, not having anything, just with the information that's out there now, what would be the system that I would need? So I asked myself, what is it that I really want out of a gaming experience? And what I want is to have a good-looking, great-feeling, fun, and challenging game experience. I want to be able to turn on a system and have a game that engages me intellectually, that gives me puzzles to solve, that looks great, has a sense of humor, but ultimately has a great story. That's what I want out of my games for the most part. Sometimes I just want some stupid fun, but mostly I want an encompassing experience. That makes me feel good about ponying up $50 or $60 for a game. If I get that kind of feeling out of it, you know, if I get that reward. So I start looking at the Wii and I start looking at the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and my gut tells me that the PS3 will eventually be a beast of a gaming machine. It is. It's going to be a monster. Once they get all the kinks worked out, once they get all the laser problems hammered out, and the developers get a handle on how to actually create games that take advantage of all of the computer power that the system actually will offer, I think that we will see some truly amazing and creative games worth the title of next gen come out.
But how far into the future is that going to be is the question.
Exactly. I don't think that that's going to start happening for at least another year and a half. I really don't. And, you know, so I don't think that at launch, I'm damn sure at launch, that the PS3 is not going to be able to offer me that experience. I mean, when you look at the list of titles, many of those titles are already out on the existing systems, on the PS2 and on the Xbox 360. You know, the NBA 07s, all those 07 sports games are already available on other consoles, so that's not really next gen at all. There are a slew of Mobile Suit Gundam games. Need for Speed has been a franchise on all the popular consoles for years, so it's not like they're offering a whole, you know, brand new genre of games yet. You know, out of those 21 games, there are really only 3 games that I feel like I have no other choice but to play them. It's more than just a need, and those games are Genji Day of the Blade, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and Tony Hawk's Project 8. Now, out of those 3 games, only Genji is exclusive to the PS3. Okay, that's not an overwhelming reason to drop $600 to get on the box to play the game. I mean, I want to play Genji, but I don't $600 worth of, you know, computing power want to play Genji. You know what I mean? So then you come back, and I know that the PS3 will be the only place to find Tekken and Ridge Racer, and those are games that are near and dear to my heart. I've been a Ridge Racer fan for, God, I can't even remember how long I've loved Ridge Racer, but I dig it. I love playing with cars. I love the driving sim games. I will probably play them well into the time that I have the Alzheimer's as an old lady in the home with all the
You'll still be beating me in games when you're an old bat.
Probably, even with the Alzheimer's. I'll be driving in reverse, but I'll probably still be.
You'll still be.
You're like, you're going the wrong way! Catch me, bitch! Catch me! But seriously, you know, I then have to look at the platforms and the franchises that I absolutely have to play, and you know, Tekken is definitely on it, and there's not going to be any place else to find it. The Ridge Racer series again, but and you know, God of War 2 will be dropping in February, but I remind myself that God of
I saw a preview for that and I was like, oh, hand me a towel.
Dude, you rip the freaking wings off a griffin, come on, while you're on it.
But then doesn't it plummet to the ground?
That's why you gotta jump onto the other griffin.
Do you pull those wings off too?
Yes, it's like a platform. You gotta jump from griffin to griffin and kill the griffin and everything on it. Fuck yeah! Alright, anyway. But I remind myself, I got a towel right here, so I'm alright. But I gotta remind myself and everybody out there that God of War 2 is a PS2 title. It's not a PS3 title. You know, and so allowing for the game release list that they have to mature a bit, because to be fair, you have to do that. It is a new system. You've got to give developers time to get on board and things like that. I have to look at, okay, well, what are the system capabilities of the systems that are out there? And so the PS3 will have online multiplayer capabilities, which will be great because I can play against other gamers out there with the ease of Xbox Live, which I don't care who you are or what complaints you have about the Xbox 360, up until right now, this today, which is all we can talk about, it is still the easiest console solution to online multiplayer gaming. When you get the box and start it up, the first thing it does is make you create a profile and then ask what kind of level of online service do you want. Do you want the pay for or just what you get, what you get? And it's easy to use. You log in, it logs you in itself by default, and you can just play with your friends. And I love that. I love not having to think about it and just be able to play people, you know. And but the PS3 is going to have the same type of capabilities, which is great because, let's face it, Sony does have a much larger installed base than Microsoft does. So to have an online, you know, playing gamer base as big as what the PS3 could possibly offer is very exciting to me because, again, that will help feed into the whole immersive, immense gaming experience that I really want out of a system. So, okay, that's definitely a pro. But I also start asking myself, or wondering at least, what kind of support for PS2 games online will there actually be, if any? You know, because the PS3 is supposed to be backwards compatible, and let's face it, the majority of people who are going to actually have a PS3 in the first days of launch are going to have a lot of PS2 titles. Some that have, you know, some kind of online component, but they haven't used it because it required getting the adapter or, you know, because they have the old fatty machine, so they had to get the hard drive attachment, which you can't find anymore, so they just left that piece behind. Is that going to be supported on the new system or not? You know, so these are questions that I have. You know, are you going to be able to, you know, get access to some new parts of Final Fantasy XI, the online part of that, on the new system or not? And, you know, because that will also factor into, you know, the fun capability. Because if I can take my existing PS2 games, because not a whole lot of people are going to shell out for, you know, a lot of the games that are on that list of launch titles. So that means most of your reserve stuff is what you're going to predominantly be playing at least until the first of the year when the second slew of games start coming, when your Assassin's Creed start hitting and your Heavenly Sword start hitting and, you know, your Warhammer and Warhawk and all that kind of crap starts hitting. That's when the games are going to start, you know, for the PS3 as far as next-gen games are going to start getting hot. So what kind of support is there going to be for the PS2 games? Are there going to be any support? Or am I just going to be pretty much shit out of luck with those games? And so that kind of is a thing that I leave on the fence with the PS3. Because unlike the Xbox 360, which I think is kind of a neat little thing, you have achievements. I don't know if either of you actually have an Xbox 360 or not, but every game that you get... Okay. Well, every game that you get has a certain amount of achievements that they've built into the game. So as you progress, you get achievements, and they're usually a point ranking that adds to your overall gamer score. So other Xbox Live members can actually see your gamer score. So if you ever heard anybody talking about that they got their gamer score up to like 10,000 or whatever, it's because they've unlocked these achievements. And basically what happens, like right now I'm trying to get as many achievements as I can on Samurai Warriors 2, just because it's the easiest game that I've found to get achievements for. Basically, I get 50 points for every character that I unlock, and if you've ever played any Dynasty Warriors or Samurai Warriors game, you know there's a lot of characters to unlock.
Yeah.
And you can unlock them very easily by just playing through their story mode. So you get 50 points per person. So I took my gamer score from, I think at the time that I started playing this game, it was around 250, and I've got it up to 570 already, just from unlocking people. So
if you play the game again from the beginning, do you get more points, or do you only get it once?
You only get the achievement for each person that you unlock. But different games have different achievements. So as you progress along, there are some games that give you achievements for getting past a certain level. There are some games, like in DOA 4, you get achievements in the online component for getting 10 wins in a row. You get an achievement for beating somebody of a higher ranking than you. So, like, the first time I beat a person that had a B level, I got, like, 20 points or something like that as an achievement. Most games have anywhere between, like, 1,000 and 2,000 achievement points that you can possibly get. once you actually play the game the first time, you can actually go up on Xbox.com, and then it will show you the games that you've played, and if you click on any of them, they will show you all the achievements that you have, and then the ones that you have yet to achieve. So you can go, okay, well, I can, you can make a basically a plan on how to unlock these achievements if you want. So, for instance, in DOA 4, you get an achievement for unlocking all the costumes for everyone. You get an achievement for beating the story mode with everyone. You get an achievement for getting all of the items. You get an achievement for getting 100 wins in a row in the survival mode and things like that. And they're different values. So they basically are giving you an incentive to play a game through all the way so that you really get the full experience of a game, as opposed to just taking a linear take on it and, you know, just going through story mode and being up, that's it. They really make you stop and, you know, take stock in what the entire game has to offer. So by the time I'm actually finished with the game, I'll probably have a gamer score of well over 1,200 by the time that I'm done. Which, that's starting from 250 doesn't suck. Which is the only reason why I kept the game, because the game fucking sucks. But it's the easiest way to get my gamer score up. So it's a cheap way to get my gamer score up, because I don't have a lot of time to really invest in playing a lot of games right now. So it's a cheap way to get my gamer score up, and then I can come back and actually get into, you know, playing Fear and unlocking achievements there. But the PS3 isn't going to have this kind of system. They've already come out and said, nope, we're not doing anything like achievements. We're not doing leaderboards. And I'm like, dude, that's the draw, at least for me, of playing online, is that I can have, you know, some leaderboard where I can get the top score and all the bitches from around the globe will recognize that Ninja Sista is number one. I mean, I like having bragging rights.
I recognize that Ninja Sista is number one.
Oh, you're so sweet. But seriously, you know, that's part of the reason why you game online, is because you want to game against other people, but you also want to beat their asses and then have, you know, your high score or whatever lingering.
That's the reason high scoreboards exist.
Exactly. So the fact that they're not going to build it, to me, is like, are you kidding me? And they're like, oh, well, if the individual developers want to build that kind of stuff into their game, that's great, but we're not going to do it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a con for the system. I want leaderboards. I want top score spots. I want to be able to say, yep, I got da-da-da-da-da-da-da. See, it's right there. And have anybody who's playing that game be able to look at it and then want to beat it. You know, that competition thing is the reason why you play against anybody. It's because you want to be the top dog and have the bragging rights.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of boneheaded for them to not have that. I think that it's great that they're going to have a motion sensor control. I'm interested to see just exactly how it's really implemented, because looking at the games that they have for the lineup, I'm like, there's nothing there that really I need a motion sensor for, if you think about it. You know, yeah. If you look at Wii Sports, it's obviously a game that was designed to use the motion sensor, okay? Swing to hit the golf ball, swing to hit the tennis ball. I get that. That makes sense to me. That's a good feature for those games. That's tactile. I don't see anything on this list of games that requires a tactile feel. It's not like you're going to be dribbling your six-axis controller for NBA 07, because you dropped that fucker and it's broken. Okay? So it's not like you're going to be waving it up and down to dribble. So I don't see anything on that list, you know, other than maybe Ridge Racer, you know, for steering. But it's not going to have a rumble feature, so it's not like it's going to pull back against me when I'm trying to turn. So I would think that would actually be detrimental in a racing game, because you kind of like that force feedback. It's the reason why we all buy force feedback steering wheels to play a driving game. So I'm kind of like, I don't really see that being a feature. And the ability to browse the web, I don't even browse the web on my PSP. I really don't want to take time out from, you know, smacking a bitch in Tekken to check my email on Google through my gaming system. You know?
You have a computer.
Exactly. I check my email on my computer. I play video games on my console. If I wanted to play video games on the same box that I was going to check my email, then I would play PC games. But see, I don't, because I don't want that shit intermingled. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm looking at the controller, and I'm just like, no, the reality check is I don't need a PS3 if I was just coming at this from outside. You know, as a member of ESH, I need to be able to review PS3 games. So obviously, the ultimate reality is for me is, yes, I have to get a machine. I have to be able to try these games. I have to be able to compare them. And ultimately, I have to have the machine because there will eventually be games on it that I just cannot live without playing. But for most people, I think if they do the gut check, they don't really need a PS3. But then you come back and you start thinking about the Wii. And every little thought that you can think of for reasons that only help the case for needing the system, all I have to say is Red Steel.
You've talked about Red Steel before.
Okay. Yep. And that's really all I need to say. I can only play Red Steel on the Wii. I have no other choice but to get a Wii. Because I have to play Red Steel. The game looks amazing. I'm not embarrassed to say that I have to play Super Swing Golf. You can call me a punk-ass bitch if you want to, but damn it, that golf game looks funny and fun. I want to play it.
I want to play it.
Okay? I don't want to play it.
I just do. Look, I love Mario Golf, okay? It's a stupidly fun little game. Like, you think it's going to be simple, but it's not. It's actually, the mechanics are really good, and you find yourself, even when you're just playing against your best friend's, you know, four-year-old daughter wanting to win the game. Sure, she's kicking your ass because she plays it all damn day, but you're still like, God damn it. She's like five strokes ahead of me. Fuck. You know, I think about, okay, the system's cheaper, and I can't lie. That's a big pro for me. And I'm not trying to be cheap or stingy or anything like that, but when I'm looking at the wallet come Christmas time and thinking I gotta get the family parents and all of those people gifts.
Yeah.
You know, coughing up $600 plus games plus another controller. That's a little bit much.
Not so appealing.
It's really not. As opposed to, okay, $250 and $50 for a game, $50 for another remote, and boom, I got a whole system set up and it's going to give me a game so I don't have to get a game right off the bat. You know, that's a lot more alluring. I can't lie. And let's face it, again, the majority of people that are going to be doing the shopping the holiday seasons are going to be moms taking care of the family. I mean, dads, I know you're out there, you're holding it down, doing your thing too. But let's face it, there are more mommies than daddies that go shopping the day after Thanksgiving. Okay? So, you know, I'm just being honest. And it's not that I'm a Nintendo fangirl. You can't even say that. Dude, I had a Betamax player. I have a PSP. I had a bazillions of different Walkmans that, you know, were either run over by a car, they got their headphones cut by a pair of scissors by a family member.
By me.
They wound up in the toilet by accident.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
How much of that was your fault, Panda?
A lot of it actually was. I cried really bad when I cut them with scissors because I thought I could just put them back together and they'd be okay.
She tried to put the ends back together and make it okay. She How was old were nine. You? I was pissed because it was the first Walkman I bought with my own money. I got, and mom had to come in and like hold me back because I was gonna beat the shit out of her.
Oh, and I was crying. I felt really bad. I was like, I'm so sorry, Ninja.
Yeah, these were my first set of like DJ quality headphones, and these weren't like cheap headphones. And I spent months getting the money together, and she just went poof right through the wire. And then tried to put them together. And then so I wouldn't notice, she tied it in a knot around it. So I couldn't see. And I'm like, why are they not working? Then I put it together, and it just came apart. And I looked, and I'm like, huh, that's a clean cut. Oh, sis. But anyway. So I had all those Walkmans. I even had a mini disc player. Okay, and I have a Mac. So if anybody out there has a mini disc player, you know how difficult it is to actually get music on it, let alone have a Mac and try to get the music on it because it has to be like converted into their format. So I had to go through Virtual PC on my Mac to convert my already MP3s into their format to put on the mini disc player. So that's love. Okay? So it's not even about not liking Sony or being a Sony loyalist, because I've been a Sony loyalist. PS1, two PS2s, the PSP, Betamax, mini, I've been there. It's not that I don't like their products, because I do. But if you break it down to necessity, there isn't anything that the PS3 right now that they're hyping as being a feature that I need. Then when it comes to the Xbox 360, yes, I know I have one and things like that, but you know, the online component, the way that they have it structured, is something that I need. I need that feedback of getting through a game. I like being, you know, rewarded so that while a cutscene goes, that little achievement unlock thing pops up and I hit my little button and it goes right to the achievement that I got. And I go, oh gosh, yeah, I did do that, didn't I? Oh, cool, my gamer score went up. And then you go back to the game. It's just a nice little feedback that you get. You know, which is...
We're doing a job well done.
Exactly.
It's like a gold star. Who it doesn't really want a gold star?
I love gold stars. I like silver stars, too.
I know, but, you know, who doesn't like getting that little star? You know, you feel good about making progress, and it makes you want to continue on with the game to see what else you get. So there are things that the system has to offer. You know, if you want Halo, guess what? There's only one place that you can get it. There's only one place that you're going to run with it, and that's on the Xbox. So... I am just asking people, with launch being 2 weeks away, to do a reality check. And then hit us back and let us know what your check has revealed to you. Because I'm really curious to see if people are really honest with themselves. What system really fits their needs? Because different people have different needs. So that's my little bit. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a revealing podcast, ladies, don't you think?
It's been very revealing.
Very revealing.
Yep. I think so. We've all learned that we like being scared a little bit, as long as the lights are turned on this time.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
And we've all learned a little bit about how badly Final Fantasy really
needs some diversity.
Needs some diversity. If they were a government entity, they so would not be EEOC. You know what I'm saying? I think so. But with that said and done, I guess I'm going to say this podcast is toast.
I think this podcast toast.
Yep. Toasted.
Rusty toasty, toasty like an almond. So ladies, what are you going to do with your toast?
I am going to put raspberry jelly on it.
Ooh.
And then give it to my dog.
Aw, that's sweet of you. Gotta feed the puppy.
Your dog likes raspberry jelly?
Yes. She likes everything.
Oh, that dog will eat
anything.
Anything. She'll eat marshmallows if you give them to her, which you shouldn't do because that's bad for a dog. But dude, she begs for food. Like, she doesn't even know what it is that you're eating, but she will just sit there and put her head on your lap and then nudge you and wait for you to just do something. She's a slut for food.
Oh, yeah.
This is Pandalicious's dog, by the way, not Pandalicious.
Yes, I am not a slut for food.
Her dog.
I will not do you for a cheesesteak.
Although cheesesteak does sound really good.
Yeah, that does really sound good right now.
I know, I'm hungry.
Hungry.
Anyone doing anything interesting tonight?
Running ZG.
Gee.
In an
Imagine
hour.
That. Pandalicious doing something WoW related on a Friday night. Who would have thought? Speaking of which, you can now buy the Pandalicious is my guild leader t-shirts in the Freshware store. All right.
I know!
Shameless
maybe
plug.
One day, maybe in a sense
plug.
I am your guild leader. If you're in Reprieve and you're in Thrall, then I'm your guild leader.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
I'd love to see people wearing that shirt.
Magic, what are you doing with your toast?
I haven't decided yet, but I'm really hungry, so I'm just going to scarf it down pretty quick.
I don't blame you. I'm going to make a cheesesteak with my toast.
Ooh, cheese yummy!
Steak. Yep. Yeah.
An open-faced steak and cheese?
Yep, that's what I'm going
to
do.
I might
Throw
have
some
to
peppers
make
and
some,
onions on it.
I might have to make some chili and dip my toast in chili.
Ooh, that's good. That is really good.
I make a really good chili.
I bet. Well, now that you know what we're doing with our toast, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we're out.
And we're out!
Out!